Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Retag works the dribble between the circles. Guarded by Sean Blake. Two good sophomores against one another there. Now Sable between the rings. 10 to shoot. Sable moves left. Drives on Hurley. Left side layup is good. Count it and a foul.
Sable, again, not having one of his best nights, but that's a key basket there. He drives to the hoop, is able to put it in. He'll go to the line for a three-point play, gives the Bulls currently a five-point lead.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Zach Jones hanging with you here on a gorgeous morning. And that right there, the UB Bulls, 5-0 in men's basketball. And they have had some impressive wins last night, being... I don't even want to say the most impressive, because they did beat DePaul on the road, a Big East team, but Vermont, a regular NCAA tournament team, American East royalty. They are routinely putting up 20-plus win seasons, and last night UB got a 94-90 regulation win. It didn't even have to go to overtime to hit that score. Daniel Freitag, the star of last night, a former four-star recruit for Wisconsin, his first year with Buffalo, a sophomore guard. Just unbelievable. 33 points last night. He's averaging now through five games, 21 points, three assists, three rebounds. Just it's fun to have good UB basketball again. Last year we had the women's team win the NIT. That was a blast. Got to talk to then head coach Becky Burke a lot as that season was going. And hopefully now, I thought about it last night of reaching out to see if we can get Coach George Halkovich on the show as well, because, you know, up to this point, it was not a good time. Was it 4 wins his first year, 9 last year, 6 total conference wins? They've yet to make the MAC tournament during his tenure. This year, though, is feeling very different. Their next two games are VMI and Bucknell, both of which are going to be early afternoon games, I believe, as part of an in-season tournament. And they'll likely be favored over both of them. UB is higher in the KenPom rankings than either of them. And then they get at Canisius, another team they probably should beat. There's a really good chance at Alumni Arena on December 6th, St. Bonaventure will come in and take on an undefeated UB Bulls team. That would be a phenomenal game to go to. 2 p.m. on a Saturday would be phenomenal. But I'll definitely be talking more UB basketball as we go along here. But it is a Wednesday as the Bills get ready to play Thursday night football. Zach Jones along with you here on a beautiful Wednesday morning. We are going to hear from Sean McDermott with Sal Capaccio in just about 25 or so minutes down at One Bills Drive. We'll see who is going to be inactive for this game. The big news, though, from yesterday was actually not involving the Bills. It was with the Texans. There was some belief that this was how it was going to go. But it ultimately does occur. C.J. Stroud is out. He did not clear concussion protocol. Neither did safety Jalen Petrie. And so those are two big outs for Houston, namely the quarterback with C.J. Stroud. He is not the same guy that he was in his rookie year, right? I mean, he was breaking records and he was doing things we hadn't seen ever, right? It's not been the same. Now we are at a point where, for the Bills, for me, just win. It's a backup quarterback. Just win. I know it's Thursday night. I know the defense is awesome. Get a win. And we talked about it yesterday, kind of coming to the conclusion that the Bills have a really tough time against AFC South teams for whatever reason. It's not like that division is this great, you know, just battle-tested group, a ton of Super Bowl champions, all good organizations. It's the exact opposite. For the longest time, that division was joked as the Thursday night special. Not good teams, not good organizations. You should mow through them. Bills had a tough time with that. Tennessee in their heyday with Mike Vrabel, issues. Jonathan Taylor runs all over the Bills, although they do get him in the playoff game when they have Phillip Rivers, and even last year as well. Houston, though, I don't think they've won in Houston since 06. And then Jacksonville is just a lot of embarrassing losses that make you question the existence of a higher being. Just get a win in Houston. They've got Davis Mills. We'll see about someone like a Nico Collins if he's able to go. He was full practice yesterday, so it looks like he is going to be good to go. But if it takes a 20-10 win, fine. I mentioned it yesterday. I don't need them to put up 35-plus again. I don't need a 44-point game out of the offense. What I need them to do is not turn the ball over. Don't play into Houston's strengths. And get out with a win. We'll see how they line up. A lot of Bills wide receivers are hurt. We talked with Sal Capaccio about that yesterday. Khalil Shakir was out due to personal reasons, although congratulations to him. That does appear because he had a child born, so congratulations. But Mecole Hardman and Curtis Samuel, both did not practice two straight days. I think it's likely that they won't play on Thursday. So now that points to Keon Coleman, probably getting back in the lineup. Elijah Moore getting back in the lineup. What can we get out of this wide receiver room against a very, very talented secondary, a talented defense as a whole? The Bills are, latest I've checked, six-point favorites. Get a win. Move to 8-3. Take the weekend off. Get one step closer to potentially surpassing the Patriots in the AFC East. Because that's something I've now started to think about, is if you can get past the Patriots. Because right now, the idea of having to play Baltimore, at Baltimore in the wild card round, if they were to win the AFC North, I have no appetite for that. Absolutely no appetite for that. They don't match up well against teams that can run the ball and want to run the ball. I don't really want them to play the Colts either. But you got to start with getting a win here and start building off of it. I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about it, and Jeremy mentioned that if the Bills were to win on tomorrow, he thinks they can run the table. I don't necessarily disagree. Looking at the Bills' schedule after tomorrow, you've got Pittsburgh. You've got Cincinnati. Then it's at New England, maybe the most important game remaining on your schedule. Then at Cleveland, a team that cannot play offensive football. Philadelphia, who, while talented, seems very, very gettable. And then the Jets. I don't think that's crazy at all to say that they can run the table if they get a win tomorrow, albeit against a backup quarterback, but maybe the best defense you'll play the rest of the way. Philadelphia maybe has an argument for that. Get a win tomorrow. And I don't really disagree with Jeremy. I think you could run the table. I think you can get it done. Because Pittsburgh, sorry, they're not very good. They're just not. They typically will win games and you'll scratch your head at how. But this is also around the time of the year where they start to look like the team that will get blown out in the wild card round. Cincinnati, they may have Joe Burrow back. They may not. And how much will that really matter? I like Joe Burrow a lot. But we watched Joe Flacco light up defenses with the same receiving core, and they were still losing games because their defense is as soft as humanly possible. It's the Patriots game. That's where it all comes down to. It's the Patriots game at New England. I would be stunned if it stays at 1 p.m., but that's the game. That's the one. But get a win tomorrow. We may look back and think that the Dolphins' loss actually was a good thing for them. I think there is a world where that is a good thing for them, to get embarrassed by a division rival that you've dominated for years, and they embarrassed you. Because ultimately, the Tampa game wasn't perfect. They have multiple turnovers, and when they do that, they lose. They had three turnovers for 2 weeks in a row. But they found a way to win. They sort of, quote-unquote, unlocked something within themselves, finding the deep passing game, getting the running backs involved. Maybe they figured something out. Maybe it's ultimately going to work out for them. But I like how they're setting up tomorrow at Houston. Not saying they're going to blow them out. That defense is very good, and they will make every game into a drag-out rock fight. I know that's the phrasing that's been all around now, and sure, that's probably right. But even look at the next few teams they're playing. The Bills' biggest issue is their run defense. Houston, it's Woody Marks. Not really anything special. Pittsburgh can't run the ball with Jaylen Warren. Cincinnati, they like to throw the ball, and that seems to be the Bills' best attribute on defense. New England maybe finally found out how to use Travion Henderson. We'll see as the weeks go on. Cleveland, not really. Philadelphia, Saquon, and then the Jets, nobody. The rest of the way, they may not have to really deal with that run defense being as big of a problem as it is. They've got to get a win tomorrow on a short week and a lot of guys injured that are limited. But we'll see how many players are actually ruled out. Right now, it only feels like a few guys who did not practice 2 days in a row. Now, Shakir, I won't put on that. He's personal reasons. He's not injury-related. But the guys, it looks like Mecole Hardman, Curtis Samuel, and Dalton Kincaid. They're the three guys that have not practiced all week due to injuries. Kincaid, we know, is week to week. I'd be stunned if he played. And the other two, sort of the same thing. They did not practice for two straight days. So everyone else is limited. It's late in the year. We've talked with Sal a lot about this. This is kind of how it goes. Play the long game. There's no reason maybe to practice full go at this point, especially with after this game, you'll have a little bit of an extended break here. You're already on a short week. Let's not do too much here. The only thing that makes me nervous about Houston is that defense. If the Bills get in a situation for what would be then a third straight week, 2+ turnovers, that's where it gets dicey. I think that's the only way. You had 3 turnovers against Miami, you lost. You had 3 turnovers against Tampa, you won. I don't think it's likely with Tampa that you get that result again if you have 3 turnovers. Especially not the ones that you did have, ultimately. Allen's pick right in the red zone. Or ultimately, what turns into the red zone when Tampa picks it off. Be smart. Arguably, be conservative. There's probably no result that ends in a Bills win that I'll be upset about against this Houston defense on a short week and on the road. There probably isn't. So I don't want to say that definitively.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Because I could watch the game and be really upset. But they are in a good spot. Because they can be in a much, much more difficult position. 2 years ago, when they were 6-6 and had to go run the table. And they finished 11-6. And by the end of the year, you're sitting there going, how are we ever worried? But if they beat Houston, I think there is a really good chance they can finish the year 14-3. And at that point, you let the chips fall as they may. If you don't win your division based off being 14-3, then credit to the Patriots. Then credit to the Patriots. If you're not in the one seed battle at 14-3, then credit to Denver or Indy. Man, 803-0550, if you want to jump in here and give your thoughts. We'll listen to Sean McDermott and Sal Capaccio, who will be sitting down at One Bills Drive here in just about 15 or so minutes. I think it's a realistic opportunity for the Bills here. With how the schedule's played out, with how certain teams are sitting, they could run the table. They can put themselves in a good position. If you're 14-3, yeah, you lose some of these games, but I'm not sitting here going 15-2 or bust to get a one seed. It sucks if that doesn't get you it, or if it doesn't get you the division. That sucks. But they can put themselves in a wonderful position here. It starts tomorrow because of the short week. I just don't see where Houston's scoring the points, though. I really, really don't. I think the only way Houston wins this game is multiple turnovers by the Bills. In high leverage situations where all of a sudden you're giving Davis Mills 30 yards to score a touchdown. We'll see how it goes. I think for me, though, I and I said this yesterday, I don't know how much I really want to see the Tampa offense from Sunday, where they're going down the field and they're just trying and they do unlock the deep passing game. I don't think the Bills can play that game against this defense. They are a great unit who have really stymied some good offenses this year. San Francisco puts up 15. Tampa, 20. Baltimore, although without Lamar Jackson, puts up 10. The Rams, 14. It is a really, really, really good unit. And outside of Allen and Cook, there isn't that elite guy that I think can ruin that for Houston. I like what Tyrell Shavers did on Sunday. I'm also not sitting here going, he's going to destroy Derek Stingley. Probably not. And the likelihood is you won't have Kincaid. Again, that was a week-to-week injury last week, and he hasn't practiced all this week. So I'm context clues are telling you it's not going to be Kincaid. They got to get a win at Houston, a place they have not won in since 06, which feels insane to me because there's also been bad Houston teams. They just happen to play in Buffalo when they do, and the Bills do typically get those wins. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones here, and Nathan is up first. Nathan, how are we doing?
How are you doing?
Doing well.
I'm just calling because – can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Okay. Just jumping on the Keon Coleman – topic. I think that the fans need to temper expectations. Yes, hold them accountable for missing practice and, you know, not trying hard enough. You know, so, you know, that's the narrative that's out there. But the same fan base is the same one that was chasing Gabe Davis out of town. And we welcomed him back. You know, people have ups and downs. He's going through it right now. I just think it's totally uncalled for to just completely turn off on this guy. That's just where I'm at. People have no idea the pressures of being a caliber athlete like that and then having that much. We're used to winning. I feel like we're just becoming so, like, ignorant in the same stance. That's all I have to say.
Nathan, thanks for the call. I'm going to sound probably mean. Dude, show up to practice on time. It's 3 times in 2 years. And he's not producing on the field. You're right. We ran Gabe Davis out of town. Partially because Gabe Davis unfairly was put in a role that he wasn't totally suited for. He's probably a really good number three receiver. Bills tried to make him a number two. And he was going to get paid a lot of money to be that for another team. And he did. It didn't work out in Jacksonville. And now he's back. Good for him. But I also feel like a lot of people really want to downplay that Keon Coleman is coming off as very immature. He is being paid millions of dollars to play a child's game, and he's not showing up to practice on time multiple times this year, in a year where he's not popping off. He is a second-round pick out of Michigan State and Florida State. He is not new to the role of being an elite athlete, to the expectations of being an elite athlete. It's not new to him. And right now, he is trending towards not being on this team in the long term, both because of his play on the field and now off the field. I mean, that's – and ultimately, my thing is with this. If he's late to another meeting and we hear about it, is that all of a sudden the line where it's 4 in 2 years or 4 in 3 years, whatever it is? Is that all of a sudden the line? I think it's more than okay for people to be very frustrated with Keon Coleman. He was expected, when drafted, to be this team's eventual number one receiver, to replace Stephon Diggs, one of the hardest working people in the NFL, and someone that took his craft very seriously. And now the guy that replaced him, the optics are that Keon is not. Now again, I think McDermott said afterwards, after the game, that it was not performance-based, that actually he had one of his best weeks of practice, but he happened to be late to a meeting. But the optics of it are he's not taking his career seriously. A career that the moment he is drafted, he is worth millions of dollars, and he has not taken a professional snap at that point yet. That is the frustration that a lot of people have. And then you add in the fact that he's not really performing on the field. He's had one good game this year, Baltimore. And ultimately, it's the fourth quarter when Baltimore kind of just wants to get out of that game, it seems like. They think it's over. It's basically prevent defense. And then it's not. And it's much more of a Baltimore issue. They blow those games a lot under Harbaugh. So I think that's where people's frustrations come in, though. Thank you for the call, Nathan. Let's go back to the phones, and Jerry is up next. Jerry, how are we doing, man?
Hey, good. How about you?
Doing well.
I see some of our philosophies on some of these games. I talked to the call screener. You play golf, right?
I do, yeah. Not very good at it, but I do.
Okay. I have a golf question for you. If you're going to play a match against Tiger Woods tomorrow, do you want to play him for one hole or 18 holes?
One hole, I'm going to get killed in 18.
Okay. When you're the better team, stop shortening the game. It allows the other team to stay in the game. Go into tomorrow night and boat race them. If you score 35 points, no matter how many turnovers you have, are the Texans scoring 35 points ever?
No, I don't disagree with that. I think the problem is, though, I don't think you're getting a 35.
No, but here's the mistake. We're going to go in thinking, don't make mistakes, and then we let them hang around. And then it's 10-3 at half, and then they're hanging around. Then one long play costs you the game. That's what happens with bad teams. Stop letting them hang around. Turn it into a track meet. Have halftime be 21-10. Then they think it's over. Even when you make mistakes, you don't think that offense for them can score unless the defense scores. Just stop shortening games when you're the better team.
Jerry, I don't disagree with you. My problem is I don't think you can do that against Houston's defense. If you do that, you are giving the Houston Texans a chance to stay in the game because you'll turn the ball over. That is an incredible defense. If you drop back to pass and you want to go deep and you want to turn into a track meet, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, they are two of the best sack artists in the sport, and Allen is taking sacks this year. He's not been particularly good at identifying blitzes either. I don't disagree. If you shorten the game, you're keeping a bad team in it. But it's a backup quarterback. If you force him to throw because the running game isn't particularly good, you'll probably be fine. But it's also Thursday night on a short week. If they turn the ball over three times, there is a chance they will keep that team in the game. Because ultimately with Miami, that's why Miami wins that game, is the Bills can't get off the ground on offense and they turn it over three times. And in the second half, they're able to just run away with it. New England, same thing. They turn the ball over three times. A lesser team beats them, 23-20. I love the idea of turning it into a track meet. I don't think you can do that against Houston's defense. They're the best pass defense in the sport. So I think it's a wonderful idea. I'm all for it against most other teams. Pittsburgh the following week, get after them. Cincinnati, get after them. Houston, on a short week, not really. I'm not really for that at all. I think that is a recipe for how you do lose this game. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get us over to One Bills Drive as Sal Capaccio sits down with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll get the inactives. We'll see also what maybe to expect from today at practice. The Bills get ready to take on the Houston Texans tomorrow for Thursday Night Football. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
All right, Coach, welcome to a Football Wednesday. A little quick turnaround here. And obviously a big win on Sunday. I know there's a 24-hour rule after a win. Does a 24-hour rule turn into a 12-hour rule when you have such a quick turnaround?
Yes, it does. It really does. And short week here for us, a lot of work, a lot of volume, in particular for the coaching staff. The goal with the players is to get them as fresh as possible.
Tell us the process of a game on Sunday night with Sunday for noon, excuse me, with a game on Thursday night, especially on a road trip Thursday night. What do you do on Sunday and leading in?
Well, we go right back to work, especially because it's an away game. You know, we're getting on the road rather quickly, and that's part of the job. So, again, a lot of volume in terms of information gathered in a short span of a time. Short window of time, but we try and simplify it for the players so they can go execute.
What can you say about your quarterback that hasn't already been said? Six touchdowns, the first person in NFL history of 3-3 passing and rushing. And Josh Allen seemed like he was in full control, but there's not much to say about this guy and what he's capable to do, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, when he's on his game, you look out. I mean, he's the best there is in the business, and he was on his game last week, that's for sure, and the offense was rolling.
All right, obviously a big story, Coach, was what happened with Keon Coleman on Sunday. How do you feel he's responded over these last couple of days? Is there any status or update on his availability or status for Thursday night?
Yeah, we move forward one day at a time. We'll see what comes of it come Thursday night.
Okay, that said, Tyrell Shavers, Gabe Davis, big plays in the passing game. Let's start with Tyrell. What gave you and Joe the confidence to put him in such a larger role in him responding?
Well, he's earned that. Trust is earned over the course of time from consistency and approach, consistency and performance, and he's done a phenomenal job with that, and he went out and executed.
And Gabe, why does it feel like he never left?
Well, I know he's happy to be back. We're happy to have him back. It's anytime a player comes back, number one. Number two is coming off an injury that he's had, being able to, again, experience his best football in Buffalo. A lot of players can say that, and I think that's a credit to the culture, to the people that we have around.
All right, Sean, a few guys hadn't practiced the last couple of days. Several more are limited. Is there anybody that you know you'll be declaring out right now?
So Dalton Kincaid will be out. McCall Hardman will be out. Curtis Samuel, all three of those will be out, and then we'll go from there.
Any long-term concerns on either Hardman or Samuel?
Not at this time. We'll see where it goes. We're week to week at this point.
And then we know now because his wife posted on social media, Khalil did, and his wife welcomed their first child in the world. Congratulations to them. And no concerns about him obviously being available then Thursday.
he loves both his family in this case, and he loves football as well. So he's a great teammate. He's done a great job. We're super happy for him and his family.
Okay. And then no CJ Stroud for the Texans. We know that. What is the challenge that Davis Mills represents? You've seen a couple of games from him on film, and you have faced him before.
Yeah, very decisive, smart, knows where to go with the football based on the defensive looks. He's been in the league for a number of years now, and they're playing good football with him.
This is a really aggressive, typical D'Amico Ryans defense. They just seem like they line up and go right after you and say, we're going to beat you. Not a ton of exotic stuff, what you see from a lot of teams, and they're very confident. What kind of challenges does that side of the ball pose for you?
Well, it all starts with their talent. I mean, when you've got a front four and really 11 that can get after it, you don't have to do a whole lot. So their skill takes care of and basically erases some of the other things. So they play well together. They play fast. As you said, they play physical. Number one defense in the NFL for a reason.
Okay, Coach, safe travels to Houston. Good luck tomorrow night. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving. We're not going to talk before then again.
Same to you, Sal, and everyone out there.
All right, thank you, Coach.
That is right. The Bills will not have another game until after Thanksgiving, until after the holiday. Three players have been ruled out. It's unsurprising based on the practice schedule to this point. It is Dalton Kincaid, it is McCall Hardman, and it is, excuse me one second, it is Curtis Samuel. There we go. I don't know why I blanked on his name. I was going to say Khalil Shakir. He is not. He is good. He is fine. But it's Curtis Samuel, McCall Hardman, and Dalton Kincaid. All three have not practiced up to this point this week. We'll take a quick timeout. It'll be a big turnaround, or it'll be a quick turnaround for Sal Capaccio. We'll sit down with him when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We did just listen back to Sal Capaccio and Bills head coach Sean McDermott. They just sat down at One Bills Drive to go through tomorrow night's game. Three players have been ruled out, tight end Dalton Kincaid and wide receivers Mecole Hardman and Curtis Samuel. Not too much of a surprise. All three had not practiced to this point this week. And for more on his interview with Sean McDermott and, of course, the game tomorrow, Sal Capaccio joins us here on the Western Hotline. Sal, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. It is nice. You never want to have players out. There's no surprises, I don't think, at least.
No, I don't think so either. After a couple of days of Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel, Mecole Hardman, none of them practicing, it was no surprise that none of them will play in the game. That's three pass catchers, though, right? I mean, that hurts your offense. But we did see Gabe Davis elevated last week, had a really nice game. We know what Tyrell Shavers did. He's on the roster. Expect him to play again. Question now is, does Gabe get elevated for this game with two receivers down? I wouldn't be surprised. But let's remember, Elijah Moore was inactive last week, right? Mecole Hardman, really a punt and kick returner, although he did get, he had some snaps on offense last week. And then, obviously, the other big news is Keon Coleman, his status. I did ask Sean McDermott if there is a any status update on him for tomorrow. He did not say whether he would play or not, be active or not. He just continually says, we're taking it one day at a time.
And I do think that is curious, Sal. I mean, based off the numbers, I do expect Coleman to play. I do wonder, though, like, how do we take that if he doesn't at that point?
Yeah. It's probably, I mean, Keon Coleman playing is, a story, but not playing would be a really big story still, right? After this. So that would cause a lot more of a lot more questions. What's going on? Is it lingering? Something else happened? Anything like that? We'll see where it goes. Inactive list comes out at 6:45 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. The game will kick off at 8:15 p.m. Eastern, of course, 7:15 Central time in Houston. Good news, though, that Fedarian Mathis was not listed as out. So yes. We'll see if he has a questionable designation. And I say that because the Bills need, they need their defensive tackles healthy. They can have more options that way. It's not that Fedarian Mathis specifically is some guy that's going to change or fix the run defense, but the more people available, the more options Sean McDermott has. TJ Sanders coming back, obviously, last week. That would help if he is able to play, but we'll see. Does he carry a questionable designation with him ahead of the game? The full list will be out later today. The team will hold, some sort of walkthrough, today before getting on the plane, and then they'll have the full injury list. The other one was Khalil Shakir, and obviously, as you said earlier, congratulations to the Shakirs, Khalil and his wife. They had a baby, baby girl, brought her into this world a couple of days ago, so that's why he has had the last 2 days missing practice with a DMP designation for personal reasons. Sean didn't commit to him playing when I asked him specifically, but it feels like, he should be available to play.
And Sal, before we do get to the Houston Texans injuries, because we got two pretty key outs for them tomorrow, I took a call in the first segment talking about tomorrow night's game, and I am somebody with how good the Texans defense is. I think the idea of wanting to turn it into a track meet or kind of do what you did against Tampa Bay, I think that is a recipe to make it a closer game and to give Houston a chance to win that game. But I did have a caller that kind of wanted the opposite point. It's a backup quarterback. Go after them. I just don't know if you can do that against this Houston defense.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this is a game. I heard the caller earlier, and Jerry called in, and I get it. Like, you're right. The response you had was right, which is, yeah, Jerry, we'd all love for, or caller, anybody, the Bills to get up 21-10 at halftime, not let them hang around. 21 points is more is usually what they give. That's more than they give up in a game, the Houston Texans. So tell me the path to 21 points, I'm all for it. By halftime, right. You're right about that. But I mean, like, when you play a game against a team like this and say, let's just put the pedal to the metal and go, you're giving them opportunity. You're giving them chances to make big plays against you. The whole point is you can't just name and say, let's just go out there and score. You can't just do that. I do think they're going to have to play this game a little tighter. But you know what? Maybe last week opened up, you know, a little bit more of the playbook, and they said, let's Josh be Josh. And hey, if that happens, all the power to the Bills. If we come away from this game going, man, the Bills put up a 30 spot, let's say, on the Texans, or even 28 points, high 20s, well, you're going to feel a lot better. This is a really, really good Texans defense. Folks have to understand and have their expectations kind of tempered and lowered from what they saw last week. This is not a team you're going to go up and score 44 points again. If they did, that would be amazing. They're the number one scoring defense in the league, allowing less than 17 points. They're number one yards allowed in the league. They're number one rushing yards allowed in the league. So it's going to be a grind. But on the other side, if the Bills can play the kind of game against a backup quarterback that they should play and a team that isn't great at running the ball like they should play, then the Bills will have opportunity to kind of win the game within the margins, so to speak. You know what I mean, Dak? Yep. I think that's where you got to win this game.
Now to the Texans, though, they're not going to have the starting quarterback. I think that's a big reason why a lot of people are maybe wanting them to get it to a track meet, what have you. I think the line is moving now to six points for the Bills. C.J. Stroud is out, as is safety Jalen Petrie. Both could not clear concussion protocol. They've played, though, with Davis Mills the last 2 weeks. They haven't been able to win them. They have not been necessarily the most impressive wins, but this is not new territory for Houston up to this point without not having C.J. Stroud.
Agreed. You know, if you're a Houston Texans fan and you're looking at it like, okay, of course you'd love C.J. Stroud, although he hasn't been the C.J. Stroud we were used to after, you know, his rookie year. I totally get that. He's had some nice games, but it just hasn't been quite the same. Now, if you're a Houston Texans fan, you're looking at it going, okay, we don't have C.J. Stroud. You can also take solace in the fact that you have had Davis Mills play here a little bit. Like, this is a guy that's been around. He knows your offense. He's played the last couple of weeks. And in fact, Zach, Davis Mills has thrown the ball close to 90 times over the last over the last two games. 120 times, close to that, like 115 or something like that over the last 3 weeks. That's crazy. He had 30 attempts against a really good Denver defense, 45 against Jacksonville and a big comeback in the fourth quarter. And then last week at Tennessee, because they did play one of those really tight, lower scoring games, they still got into a situation where they had to throw the ball. He threw the ball 41 times. He has a 60% completion percentage. It's not off the charts, but he hasn't turned the ball over. He's thrown one interception in those games, three touchdowns. This is a guy that knows where to go with the football. He's smart. He's a veteran. He's been around. The Bills have faced him before, by the way, and they did obviously have a really good game. The Bills did against him, you know, but that was a few years ago when the Bills like, scored 40 points. The Texans were in a different spot. So if you're the Texans fan, you look at this game, you're saying, okay, well, you don't have C.J. Stroud. Well, they do have Davis Mills, who's stepped in and seen this before and done a good job for them before.
Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline for just a few more minutes. And Sal, it looks like Mills is going to also have what should be his favorite target, Nico Collins. He was upgraded from limited to a full participant yesterday at Houston practice. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, that kind of rematch, if you want to call it that, between Cole Bishop and Nico Collins could be a really fun storyline to follow.
Agreed. I don't know how the Bills will play it. Maybe they'll have Christian Benford on him. I mean, Max Harrison and, you know, Tre'Davious White have been rotating reps. We'll see where that goes with the corner spot. The Bills don't typically follow a receiver, right? They don't typically. Mm-hmm. It has happened. They do it once in a while. Maybe they do it in this game because they feel that's the guy. And I believe that's the guy. I think that the Texans game plan will probably be similar to the Falcons game plan when they play the Bills, which is basically, okay, we're going to throw it. Remember, they just threw the ball to Drake London, right? I mean, that was a game. They went to London after London after London, And in this game, it might be Collins after Collins after Collins. They do have Xavier Hutchinson is a really nice player for them who's done a nice job. Now, he doesn't put up wow numbers, but talk with people in Houston. He's a guy that they really like. He brings a lot of juice to that wide receiver room. Noel can be a deep threat sometimes for them. So they have guys. Higgins has come on a little bit here. Dalton Schultz, of course, is a very, very good tight end. Don't forget Dalton Schultz. This is a guy that they will get involved in the passing game. And, I mean, he actually, on the season, Dalton Schultz is their second leading receiver with 68 catches. I'm sorry, 51 catches on 68 targets already.
Yeah, Sal, I think this game for me, on the road, short week, Thursday night football against a great defense. I said in the first segment, I'm kind of at a point of there's probably no result that ends in a Bills win where I'm upset. Just get a win, move to 8-3. Because I look at the rest of the schedule, and I heard Jeremy talking about it before I came in. You look at the rest of the schedule, I think there is a real argument that they could run the table. Philadelphia, New England, of course, being absolutely like the two games you will zero in on and go, are you sure? I think they absolutely could run the table and go 14-3. And at that point, if you can get a win tomorrow and do that, let the chips fall as they may. The one seed, the division, what have you. If you can't be a division winner or a one seed with 14-3, it's a shame.
Yeah, they have, of course, the ability to do that whenever you have Josh Allen under center. You have the ability to win any game, right? And, you know, I guess I was thinking about it this today, big picture. We play this game, and I know it's not ever – You can't do it like this. I get it because they lost to teams that they shouldn't lose to, like, you know, the Falcons and Dolphins especially, and of course the Patriots. But if going into the season, I said after 11 games, they beat 8-3, I think you'd be like, okay, that's probably good enough to be there. But I think the fly in the ointment is you just didn't think the Patriots would be where
100%.
They are, right? So, and beat them. And that's what 8-3 is a good record, but you got to get there. You got to win this game. And then you have opportunity in the schedule. And then we know next week against a Pittsburgh team with an Aaron Rodgers playing with a broken wrist. And I believe he's going to play this week. He'll probably play next week, but you know, that's 10 days to prepare for Rodgers. Are you going to get Shedeur Sanders for the Cleveland Browns? Or who are you going to get, right? Who are you going to get Dylan Gabriel? Is Joe Burrow going to be back? There is opportunity coming up in these other games, but you got to take care of this one first. And by the way, it's also an AFC game. You know, that factors into tiebreakers and things like that.
Yep, absolutely. Kickoff tomorrow at 8:15. And, of course, we'll have you covered here all day tomorrow. Sal, travel safe, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. As we do get ready for the Bills to take on the Houston Texans tomorrow, as I mentioned, 8:15 kickoff. We'll take a quick time out here, and we'll get more on the Houston Texans side of things as John Harris, the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, will join me next. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on a beautiful Wednesday morning here in our Amherst studio. Zach Jones hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And today's show is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We got our conversation on the Bills where they sit now. Three players have been ruled out. None of them that surprising. Dalton Kincaid and receivers Mecole Hardman and Curtis Samuel. All three have not practiced at all this week, so unsurprising. Now, we will turn our attention. We go to the Western Hotline to get more on the Houston Texans as John Harris, the sideline reporter for the Texans, joins me now. John, good morning, man. How are we doing?
Good morning, Zach. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, doing well. It's cold here. I imagine the same is not true in Houston, but it is at least sunny.
yeah, it's 82 degrees. We flew back from Nashville last week. We got off the plane in Houston, the door opened. It was like the humidity hit, and I just remember thinking, why is it so damn hot here all the time? but luckily, as you know, Bills fans know, it's we play inside, and the roof will more than likely be closed. There is some weather coming in, but I think it's going to be more Friday morning than it is anything else. So Bills Mafia and the Texans can get together in the parking lots and tailgate and have a good time and then go in and hopefully watch a good game on Thursday night.
There we go. And it is a Thursday night game. It's a short week. How do you feel about Thursday night games? I always like both, of course, when my favorite team plays on them, but even just regularly watching them, I'm always like, this is a disaster. Like, these two teams should have had longer. It always feels like it's a lesser product.
It is, and obviously, this week, it hurts even worse because if we were playing this game on Sunday, then we'd have two of our key players playing. I just heard you say Kincaid and Samuel and Hardman are going to be out, and we're going to have C.J. Stroud and Jalen Petrie out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if those three might have been ready for Sunday, but it was leaning towards Stroud and Petrie being ready to go if we played on a Sunday. But because we're playing on Thursday, we've got to play a third start for Davis Mills. And maybe even more importantly, a third star for Miles Bryant, the nickel defensive back who has had to step in for Jalen. And Miles has done some good things. Former Patriot. You know, I think Bills fans have seen him play before, but he's not Jalen Petrie. So This is where the Thursday night game kind of sticks you a little bit. But, you know, we don't have to travel. Last year we had to travel for one up in New York. Played one of our worst games against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. It walked out of there with a loss. So we've not played well on short weeks. And this is obviously a Thursday night game, one of the shortest. You know, last year we played on Christmas Day. After playing on Saturday, the Ravens beat us up 31-2. Last year we lost to the Jets on a Thursday night. Philadelphia in 2022, we lost to the eventual Super Bowl participant, Philadelphia Eagles. So we've not won a Thursday night game since 2019. And now, granted, we weren't good enough to play in Thursday night games for a few years there, but we've not played well in Thursday night games, and we've not won one under DeMeco Ryans. And he's a fabulous coach, but we just haven't found our way on a short week to go win a football game. And now we're having to do it without C.J. Stroud and Jalen Petrie on the defensive side. So it's going to be that much more difficult, of course, with the Bills coming into town, one of the better teams in the NFL.
And so you mentioned there, you're not going to have C.J. Stroud. It is going to be Davis Mills. And I'm not going to lie to you, John. I really liked Mills when he was a rookie. I thought he showed some things. And for a quarterback class that wasn't exactly popping off, I was kind of like, this Mills guy's pretty good. You know, he's a backup quarterback. It's what he is. But the Texans have won the last two games he has started. A huge comeback against Jacksonville, and then the eke one out against Tennessee. Is he coming around, or is this more the team playing around a backup quarterback?
No, I think he's definitely coming around. You know, there were moments in the first 2 years that he started where you watched him and went, okay, yeah, there's something here. I don't know that he's a full-time NFL starter, but there's something here with this guy. I think he just needs time. And, of course, you know, in 2022, we played a lot of close games, but we just couldn't make plays to get over the top. Then Davis started to struggle a little bit, and it was like, okay, we got to find our franchise quarterback. But I give Davis a lot of credit because for the next 2 years he sat behind C.J. Stroud. He waited. And then he got his opportunity against Denver to come in with CJ one out. And he did some good things against a really good defense, but you could tell there was still some rust. Then in the Jacksonville game, he started to shake off that rust. He started using the full field. He got protected. And when Davis is protected, he can put the ball in the spots that a lot of quarterbacks can't. Like, he's very accurate with the football. And if we can run the ball at all, then the play action becomes even more important. And the protection for Davis has been better than it's been all year long. So, yeah, there's been some collective effort sort of thing going on. But it really is, you know, two wins the last two games, but not in spite of Davis. But you could say that Davis was one of the top five reasons that we've won those games. I mean, dating back to 2022, his last three starts, he's had a game-winning drive on the final drive of the game in all three games. So he's done some really good things. It's just a matter of being consistent and having him protected. And those things will all come to fruition, really, if they're able to run the ball, as some of the other teams have done this year to the Bills. We don't run it at that clip all the time, but we've had moments against teams that aren't really good stopping the run. So if we can run it a little bit, then we've got an opportunity to move the football. Because I think even though our defense is good, with Superman coming in the building, I think we got to score 30-plus to even be in this ballgame.
That was something I wanted to bring up, John, because the Bills' rush defense is a nightmare, to put it kindly. But, yeah, the stats point to that's not really one of the strengths for Houston. I know to start this year, Nick Chubb was kind of the main guy coming over from Cleveland. Woody Marks, though, it seems to be, is the guy that's taking over the backfield. And you mentioned there's been moments. How confident are you, though, that Houston can run on the Bills? We did just see a third-string running back in Tampa and Sean Tucker have a career game against Buffalo.
Yeah, but you guys know in Western New York, having seen Sean Tucker at Syracuse, you knew he could play. And
right.
I know for me, I studied him a lot, and I was a big Sean Tucker fan, doing a lot of draft analysis. I was a big Sean Tucker fan, was, you know, a little surprised with how things went, but not surprised that he was able to do that to the Bills. I'll put it this way. I won't be surprised at anything that happens in the run game for the Texans on Thursday night. If they run for 30 yards, I won't be surprised. If they ran for 170, I wouldn't be surprised. It's kind of a, you know, I just, I don't know what to expect really from them. The offensive line has kind of moved pieces, and they might be moving a couple more pieces this week. But I think the insertion of Woody as kind of the main back as definitely the number one, and Nick is the number two, instead of being, you know, 1A, 1B, or Nick one and Woody two, Woody just adds a little bit more juice. And I think that just gives this offense, you know, that much more ability to run the ball effectively. And Woody's a hell of a receiver out of the backfield. So even if the Bills are stopping the traditional handoffs, Woody Marks can still get his with screens, you know, catching, you know, passes out in the flat. You know, he's had a couple of our most explosive plays in the passing game, catching a check down and then making yards after the catch. So there's different ways to, quote-unquote, run the ball. And I think the Bills did that last week, obviously. You know, getting all their backs involved mm-hmm. in the passing game the way they did was, I mean, it really was just extending the run game because, you know, James didn't have a great game, but, you know, when you're pounding your head against Vita Vea, well, you're not going to run the ball really, really well. So, okay, let's take one of our best players and give him the ball away from all that. And that's what the Bills are able to do, and hopefully that's what the Texans will find at some point, that they can, quote-unquote, run it just maybe in a little different way than you would expect. It's not just going to be duo and wide zone gets it done. It might be a check down throw. It might be a little inside screen. It might be Woody on a little circle route, Texas route sort of thing, just to get him in space away from the Bills' front. So anything that happens in the run game, I won't be surprised one way or the other, Zach.
John Harris, sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, with me now here on the Western Hotline. John, the big key thing for the Texans, it feels like everyone here in Buffalo is zeroing in on, is the defense. You know, sure it's Davis Mills, sure they can't really run the ball all that well, according to statistics, but boy, is that defense really good. What have you seen from this year?
Yeah, it's a unit that has not played together for a little while, and I think that helps. There's continuity there. You know, early in the season, they had some struggles, and a lot of that had to do with C.J. Gardner-Johnson not feeling comfortable in the defense, not knowing what to do in the defense. And there were three moments in the first three games that you could directly point to C.J. Gardner-Johnson not knowing what he was doing, and it cost us three touchdowns in each game, and we lost by 5, 1, and 7, respectively. So they put M.J. Stewart in there. He knows the defense played at a high level. Well, then M.J. got hurt against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and now there's still that feeling of, hey, we've played together, we know this defense, but against Tennessee, especially in pass coverage, we blew a couple of coverages, and Cam Ward couldn't take advantage of it. I mean, he had two legitimate touchdown opportunities where we just blew a coverage, and he couldn't take advantage of them. I know somebody who will take advantage of it, and that does worry me. So they've got to clean things up, but when it comes to pass rush duo, you know, unknown but, you know, journeyman-like but grinders on the inside, linebackers that can all run, and the best cornerback in the league opposite one of the best young cornerbacks in the league, yeah, this defense is loaded with talent. As long as it is playing the system and the play call that's called, they're fine. When they start breaking down a little bit, when there's some – you know, switch releases and some things. They've blown a couple of coverages, which worries me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But this plays so damn hard. And they play fast and they play physical. And on a Thursday night, that matters. You know, you're just feeling the week before. And, you know, it may make Josh say, you know what, let me throw this one away instead of trying to run it. You know, it's just that one time maybe he throws it away because it's like, man, it's such a physical game. I gotta try and withstand this. Let me throw this one away. And that's what the Texans do. They force teams into making some of those decisions, especially quarterbacks. But what's also hurt us lately are quarterback scrambles late in games. And obviously, 17 does that really, really well. We've been hurt by everybody. And it's cost us late in games when we've broken down from a pass rush perspective and quarterbacks take off for 20, 25, 30 yards, and it sets up game-winning field goals or game-winning touchdowns. I mean, it literally cost us the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game on 4th and 10. Baker Mayfield broke a tackle and got 15. Drove him down, scored a touchdown, won the game. So there are some things this defense has to clean up. But overall, the one thing I do know is, especially on a Thursday night game with the nation watching, they're going to want to make a statement. There's no question about that. But they also know it's got to be a controlled statement because of what 17 can do with the ball in his hands, throwing it and running it.
And that's the thing, too. It's in Houston. And, John, this is something I think I'm right. The Bills have not won in Houston since 06. And even yesterday, I was having a conversation with some callers, too. The AFC South in general seems to be a huge bugaboo for the Bills. I mean, last year's game is one of the worst performances we've seen from Josh Allen. And for the most part, this defense is sort of the exact same. The receiver room really hasn't, quote-unquote, gotten much better for the Bills. You know, I wonder, too, if that gives this defense sort of that, you know, that extra boost of, we handled this guy last year. We gave him one of his worst games.
Yeah, I obviously that was a nightmare performance for Josh. Really was. I mean, the defense was playing at a high, high level at that particular moment. And so, there's a part of me that's like, not a part of me. I hope that Buffalo internalizes all that and, you know, starts to panic a little bit if they don't get things done early in a game and they do things, you know, kind of get away from the game plan or whatever it might be, because that is a worry, especially against his defense. But look, it takes a Josh 50-yard run for a touchdown. It takes a bomb to Tyrell Shavers to just shake things up. And look, I'll be honest about this. It will not be a home field advantage for us. It's not. The Bills fans have come in and taken over that place every time that they've played there, be it a playoff game or last year's game. They will come in there and they will be just as loud. It feels like a neutral site at best for Texans fans, because Texans fans, they know they can make a nice little killing for their tickets for this one game. Like, what's it matter? I'll miss this game. And then you look up and it's like, damn, there are a lot of 17 jerseys in the stands. This is going to be a tough one. And we have people in our building that have the analytics, and we've asked them, you know, earlier this week, said, hey, what's it going to look like on Thursday? And they just glared at us like,
oh, no,
it's not good. So it will definitely not be a home field advantage for us from that perspective. But I do know that when we have those situations, like the Bills last year, the Lions last year, when those fans come in, the fans that we do have end up taking it up to a different level. It gets loud. It is a loud building no matter what happens. And we got to try and keep our fans in it early, not, you know, allow them to like, oh, this isn't going to be a game they're going to win. I need to go to the house or go have some more barbecue. You know, the Bills are going to win this one. It's going to be raucous environment. It's just probably going to be more neutral site environment more than anything else. And that's something the Bills can thrive on. They did in the second half last year. I mean, we had that game dead to rights.
Mm-hmm.
And then down 20-3, they kept climbing back. And you just felt the momentum in the building. And I worry about that again on Thursday night, that they'll be able to do that. And we won't have an offensive answer because it's Davis instead of CJ. So there is that worry. But I do know the fans will show up. But we also know, you know, Bills Mafia is going to show up in droves. I would tell them, if they're listening and flying to Houston, we're wearing a lot of red. This is our wear red game for whatever reason. So, you know, go ahead and wear your blue. Just, you know, helping you out a little bit.
There we go. John Harris for just a few more minutes here. And, John, I do want to take maybe a more, you know, bird's-eye view of the Houston Texans. Of course, being here in Buffalo, yes, it's two AFC teams, but I think we all kind of get lost in some of the quick headlines. You know, C.J. Stroud, regression from his rookie year. I'm always kind of curious, too, about how the Bobby Slowick situation ultimately ended as poorly as it did. He went from the hottest name, one of the hottest names as an offensive coordinator, to fired the next year. And then also just the offensive line. You mentioned they're playing a little bit better with Davis Mills, but that's kind of been a conversation of they can't block for anybody. So what has this season been for the Texans? They ultimately start 0-3, but they are 5-5 right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows the defense, and you know, the defense is tremendous, and it lives up to claim. Offensively, it's been it's been enigmatic. I'll put it that way. You know, it was a work in progress earlier in the year because it's a new offensive coordinator. It's a new offensive line coach, a new system. So everybody's kind of learning at their pace. And then, oh, by the way, there's no Joe Mixon. There's no Tank Dell. So, okay, we've got to incorporate some new young receivers into this. And how does this work? Does CJ like this offense? You know, how's this thing really working? And so when the team started off 0-3 and the offense was the reason they were 0-3, Nick Caley, Cole Popovich, and his offense were taking a lot of heat. the thing was is that, you know, CJ was not taking a lot of that heat. A lot of it was directed at the coaching staff. Then the offense started getting going a little bit. But as soon as it would get going, we went to Seattle and we looked like a triple A offense. We just couldn't get anything going. I mean, we did dumb stuff. And that I think we've gotten away from the last few weeks. Even in a loss to Denver, we didn't do dumb things. We didn't blow blocks. You know, Ariante Erisri, our rookie left tackle, you know, held Nick Benito without a sack. He's done that a couple of times against the Jaguars at home. Josh Hines-Allen, no sack, one pressure against Ariante Erisri. So the rookie left tackle, his growth has helped. Woody Marks, his emergence, the rookie wide receivers. And last and certainly not least, the last couple of weeks, Davis Mills remembered that Nico Collins is on this roster. And Nico didn't play but a quarter against the Bills last year. And hopefully that's one thing that the Texans will have going for them this year is that Nico is playing. And that helps. But the rookies, Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noll, have really stepped up and done some really good things. Dalton Schultz, tight end, has played extremely well this year as a pass catcher. So the offense has gotten better. In fact, I would argue that it's maybe even better than it was when we faced the Bills last year. But it was on a trajectory with CJ that by this game, if CJ had played the last three games, I think it would be, wow, the Texans have really turned it around offensively. They're going to be really tough. But I think it's clouded by Davis being in the starting lineup. Now, I like Davis. I trust Davis. And I think Davis is going to play really well on Thursday night. He's just not CJ. And that, you know, takes our offense from, I don't know, being a 6.5 maybe to a 6. And it's that half that just might be the difference against a really, really good football team. And this is where the defense has got to make a play. They've got to generate a score in a short field. You know, special teams has got to do something. This has got to be a game where every unit kind of picks it up around Davis. And then Davis plays at the level he's been playing the last couple of weeks. And if they do that, there's a shot to win. I think the Texans like being the underdog. They kind of like that. Hey, watch us. Watch what we do. But they're also a reality of, you know, there's a reason you are an underdog because the team coming in is damn good and should have gone to the Super Bowl last year. So it's going to be hopefully a hell of an evening. I hope both teams show up and bring your A games because they do. It's going to be one hell of an entertaining night on Amazon and for the fans that are in the stands. So that's what I'm hoping for. You know, fingers crossed, we just don't turn the ball over and can stay in the game because we do. It's going to be one hell of a 60-minute fight.
Let's hope we can have an entertaining Thursday night football game. John, thank you so much for jumping out with me. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll talk again soon, my friend.
Absolutely, Zach. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
John Harris there, the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans. All right. Davis Mills. It's going to be interesting. The C.J. Stroud stuff, maybe they really did just come into a perfect time where they don't have to play a team that maybe was going to be on that ascending path. The defense, though, it still freaks me out. It's still, I think this is going to be a close game. I think right now the Bills sit at a 6-point favorite, and it makes me very nervous. It makes me very, very nervous. They have not done great against those big spreads. I mean, it's hard to do it. And then when you go up against that defense, and the Bills are down a few pass catchers. It didn't hurt them last week against Tampa Bay. I think against a Houston Texans team, it could hurt them. And a Houston team that is playing well. It should be noted they had two divisional wins as well in the last 2 weeks, Jacksonville and at Tennessee. They're still third in the AFC South, but they might be a team that thinks they are surging and going for a bit of a playoff run here. They also only lost by 3 to Denver, who, we may have discussions on how good they actually are. That defense is special. And that defense is going to probably get them into the either 1 or 2 seed and take out Kansas City as the kings of the AFC West. It's already done, half the job so far this year. It's going to be, I hope, a fun game, though. I really do mean that because, boy, Thursday night football games can be a struggle. We do have some quarterback news across the NFL. If you did miss it, Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders is going to start Sunday versus the Raiders. Dylan Gabriel is still in concussion protocol. And then for the Falcons, Michael Penix is undergoing season-ending knee surgery. Penix has been, frustrating for Falcons fans. He's had high moments. He has had very low moments. I know even in the Bills game, that first half, he couldn't miss. In the second half, it felt like he was trying to give away the game to the Bills at multiple points. And then for Sanders, I am curious to watch. I really, really am. I don't know how talented Shedeur Sanders is compared to the rest of the NFL. He did not look great against Baltimore at all. If he could, on Sunday, if he could play at any kind of an NFL level, they'd probably beat Baltimore, and he couldn't. There is the rumblings, though, of course, if he's not getting first-team reps and Gabriel's kind of been up and down. They probably should have been giving first-team reps, whatever, what have you. He wasn't really prepared. Now we'll see if he's going to be much more prepared against a far worse team in the Raiders, who I think just because of the defense, they should probably win that game. 803-0550, the number two call. Coming up next, a little bit of a special guest. I mentioned it in the first segment of today. I'd love to talk with UB head coach George Halkovich, and credit to UB, they got that stuff done. Coming up next, UB men's head coach George Halkovich is going to join the show to talk more on the 5-0 start to the season, the wins over DePaul and last night Vermont, and what is to come this season. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up next. You're listening to WGR. And UB would finish out their game last night against Vermont with a 94-90 win. And that puts them at 5-0. For the first time since the Nate Oates era, it has been a hot start to the year for the UB men. Also wins at DePaul over Southern Miss, Green Bay, and RIT as well. They have not scored under 80 points, they've scored over 80 points in all of their games but one, that win over DePaul. Then they get the win over Vermont last night, 94, and it was in regulation as well. And for more on the hot start to this year, we go to the Western Hotline as UB men head coach George Halkovich joins the show. Coach, good morning. Thanks for jumping on. I know it was a little last minute.
Oh, man, we're here, man. Thanks, Zach. It's great to be on with you, brother.
So, I mean, like, let's just get right to it. You know, I think for a lot of fans, the last 2 years have been a bit of a struggle, and I can imagine for you and your staff it has been too. What has changed, both internally and, you know, I guess externally as well, to see such a fast start for you guys?
Full transparency, and I think I mentioned this to Sal a couple weeks ago when I talked to Sal.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, in this day and age, NIL and rev share is a real thing. We had to play a little catch up. I knew when we got this job that was something that we had to kind of build when we got here. It took a little while, but, you know, thankfully, you know, the university stepped up for us in a big way. And then we also had some other people, donors step up, and we're able to build, you know, enough of a rev share and NIL, you know, war chest, I guess, for lack of better words, to be able to go out and, you know, put together a team that I thought would be able to be, you know, experienced enough and then with enough talent to really be able to compete in the MAC and then also in our non-conference. And, you know, I think that's been the biggest difference. You know, obviously, we have some guys that are older that have been here a while, especially like a Ryan Sable. So when you get guys in the program for 3 years like him, or Noah Batchelor and Tim Oboe in their second year, but three of those guys returning that started a lot of games last year. And then bring in experienced, really good players. Obviously, you know, Daniel Freitag has had an unbelievable start to the year, as well as Angelo Brizzi, two really talented, I believe, high major level guards, along with other guys that are just great guys that come in and give us great versatility off the bench that are older and experienced. So that's really what it's been.
And you mentioned Daniel Freitag there as well. If people don't know, former Wisconsin player, four-star recruit when he did go to Wisconsin, and he has just been on a tear. I was able to attend the RIT game where he pitched a 10 at the free throw line. It was phenomenal to watch. It just felt like every time he drove in, he was going to the free throw line. And then last night, 33 points. I mean, he looks to me, Coach, like an all-MAC player, a guy that can maybe compete for the MAC Player of the Year. And to be able to bring in that former kind of high-end high school recruit, that's got to be so exciting for fans locally.
Oh, no, when I recruited Daniel, he's an exciting player. He's playing great and playing the way, you know, we want him to be playing, just making all the right plays. You know, he's unselfish. He doesn't just go and try to score. He makes plays for other guys, and other guys have really been great for us. I think those three guards in particular, Freitag, Brizzi, and Sable, have been just tremendous. All playing off each other. And Daniel knows, you know, when you play with other really good guards, like Brizzi, like Sable, DJ Talton as well, that frees up a lot for you. You know, Noah Batchelor, when you have a lot of shooting, which we do, it really is, it makes it easier for Daniel to go out and be able to play one-on-one, which he's also great at doing as well. So he's exciting. I know he's a high major guard. We got lucky getting him here. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to keep him here. And, mm-hmm. You know, right now, though, we're just focused one game at a time. And
I'm just proud of the growth this team and Daniel has had thus far.
We'll get to the schedule that's upcoming, because I know you guys are going to have a trip down to Florida in just a few days here. But you mentioned Ryan Sabol, and he's somebody I definitely wanted to kind of point at, because we opened up the conversation talking about the struggle for the first 2 years. Ryan's been there, though, since the beginning. You know, he's kind of, I guess, built up, the calluses and what have you. But how important is it to still have some of those players that have grown with you once you got the job?
Yeah, it's invaluable. He's our captain. He's our captain. He's our leader, a guy that does not have to learn anything for the first time with me, a guy that, can calm us in moments. Sometimes when you feel like your backs are against the wall, he knows how to just say, hey, we talk about having a great attitude and responding, a next play mentality. He embodies that and believes in it. And when you got a guy that could go out in game one, and I think at 32 in our opening game, but then he does not need to score that. And I think I don't even know what he had the next game. He might have had 7 points. I know he had 7 points in one game, and he's just as happy for our success. When you have a guy like that, has put in the work, has just bought in, and he's Mr. Buffalo through and through. He embodies all of our mentality, that all-in grit mentality that we keep trying to build here. And I think because of him, we've been able to do that, and this team believes in it. You need to have that if you're going to have guys night in, night out, different guys step up, which we've had. With him, Freetag, especially those two guys with Angelo Brizzi, when you got three guards like that, man, it's fun to coach those guys, because they're going to try to figure it out, make plays for each other, and make it easy on everybody else.
And it is an older room, too, with the guards. Angelo Brizzi, I believe, is a graduate senior as well that you've been able to bring in, and that's kind of been the thing with mid-major programs, is you want to have that experience. You want to have the guys that kind of the work pail have been there and done that, and I think Brizzi kind of fits that.
Yeah, I coached Brizzi at Villanova, right? So this is the uniqueness of him. And everything went into the thought process of building out this roster was like, in this day and age of college basketball, we got very lucky. I got a guy that's definitely heard these same mentalities. We have a lot. We do a lot of the same things that we did at Villanova. And I think you have to get the personnel to fit the style of play. And he fit the style of play when we brought him into Villanova. Daniel Freetag fit the style of play. And now that's Buffalo basketball, right? Ryan Sabol is just developed in this system. So to have a guy that that knows the mentality we have as a fifth year here, it's very unique for us. And again, it's another guy that knows exactly what we're saying, isn't hearing certain things for the first time as well. So it gives us a calmness and a presence to then be able to go out and do what we do. And, he knows, because he was lucky enough to be a part of success early on in his career there, that if we do these things all together, it could really lend us a high level of success.
UB Men's head coach George Halkovich here on the Wester Hotline. And coach, let's look at the 5-0 start that you guys have had. And I think for many here locally, really what got you guys on the map was that win at DePaul. You mentioned you're at Villanova. You were with Jay Wright's staff for a number of years. You are very familiar with DePaul. But how big of a win was that, both for your staff and for the team, to kind of really get this year underway?
It was big. I mean, we look at every game one game at a time. I know it sounds like coach speak, but you have to. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. You got to just keep focused on getting better. These guys came in June and just kept working. And they had a mission that they were on, and we were on. And, we went into that the ball game. And I always bring up the Syracuse exhibition for us.
Yeah.
We battled in that game and got back in it, gave ourselves a chance at the end. And Syracuse is a really good team. We were in that environment down at Key Bank, and that was like great for us. It felt like an NCAA tournament game in there. Our fans, Syracuse fans, great excitement. But our guys knew after that game, and sometimes you got to go through stuff like, hey, we could compete with the big boys. And and I knew we had athleticism. I knew, I had belief in this team, but part of it's just like going through things for the first time, right? So I think that Syracuse game really lent us great experience going into the start of our season. And then going out to DePaul, we just went in confident, and we knew we were going to have to defend and rebound and be the more physical team. And on that night, we were. And that really was the difference in that game. So, obviously, you look at each game and you say, hey, we got to now. The great thing is you believe more and you got your guys' attention that, hey, we could go out and do anything. We could win different ways. We could win a grind out battle at the Paul. We could go play a really high octane offensive team against Vermont and do our thing and score against them. Right. So we know we can win different ways. We got a lot of work to do, but yeah, that DePaul one was huge for our program. And I was just really glad for our guys to be able to all enjoy that together, yeah, going into the road environment like that, have a great road attitude and come out with the win.
And then the Vermont win last night, which I believe is going to be your last home game until December 6th when you host St. Bonaventure. But, you know, in regulation, for a college game to go 94-90, I mean, that's a heck of an offensive performance. And, it, you know, as great as the DePaul game one, it's the only one where you guys haven't scored at least 80 points. I mean, what can you point to with that offensive explosion? You've mentioned Ryan Sable. He starts the year off with 32, but he's bounced around, you know, having single-digit, you know, scoring nights. Daniel Freitag has led the way the last two games. It does seem like it's a very balanced squad.
It is. I don't know the exact stat now, but I know, like, well, we got those two are averaging 15 plus for the season. I think Freitag is now over 20, and Brizzy's up, and we got multiple guys that could go for double digits. And we always talk about it's amazing what we can accomplish if no one cares who gets the credit, right? And this team embodies that. They always give each other the credit if they have a great offensive game of scoring, which is unique for guys their age. But we brought in guys with high character that understood they wanted to be a part of something bigger than themselves, right? Now, the style of play thing, sometimes you're going to have to win different ways, right? And that's the versatility of this team allows us to do that. You know, we have a physical presence with Tim Oboe inside, and then we can bring in Ezra McKenna, who's a real stretch inside-out presence as a five-man. You know, we have good depth. We have good guys off the bench, undersized four-man, and Michael Pocknet. And he's kind of the opposite of, like, Noah Batchelor. Noah Batchelor's a three-point shooting four-man, and then we got a bully ball four-man in Michael. So, again, and DJ Talton kind of comes in, and he could come in and run the point for us to get Freitag off the ball. We have a lot of different guys in versatility, which allows us to be able to go and grind a game out and be more physical and grind out a 60-some point win at DePaul. But then we also have guys that, if we need to, we could play and have to outscore a really talented offensive team against Vermont. Now, I would rather the DePaul games. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be doing that and playing defense like that. And, you know, but, you know, I know the fans love the high-octane scoring games, and I'd love for us to have the first half against DePaul, which we did offensively, and carry that over to the second half. But you know, sometimes that happens. You got to be able to win different ways. And, you know, just really proud of our guys. They're really mentally tough and a resilient group. And, you know, we're just going to keep getting better one day at a time here.
I knew you'd say that about the DePaul game. Like, that's how you want to play. That's the Big East coach and you coach. I fully understand it as somebody that watches the Big East a lot. Like, that's – you hear anyone's like, it's going to be a rock fight. It's going to be a hard-fought game. But it might wind up in the 80s. It might wind up in the 50s. It is what it is. Next up for you guys, though, it's going to be a road trip. You guys are heading down to Florida, the Fort Myers tournament, Monday, 2:30, taking on VMI, and then Wednesday at 1:30, taking on Bucknell. Then you come back to Western New York at Canisius, and then, as I mentioned, your next home game in Alumni Arena, Saturday, December 6th at St. Bonaventure. It's a nice schedule for you guys, even later on in the non-conference as well, taking on at East Carolina. You know, creating that non-conference schedule, is that important for you guys and your staff to build out with good quality opponents?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you definitely want to be tested. You want to go in and have to battle teams, and you know, you got to be able to play anybody, right? And if you are lucky enough to, you know, in our league, it's really one bid league, but if you're lucky enough to go on and win your conference tournament and then play in the NCAA tournament or play postseason basketball in some capacity, if you get to the NIT, say, you got to be able to go up and play against teams that are, you know, high major level, top tier level teams with that kind of talent. So getting tested early on really helps you prepare for conference play and lets you understand like the level that you need to have going into conference play. But it also prepares you hopefully for, you know, like going into Florida and playing two tough teams that are going to be stylistically a little different and they're going to bring it. And, you know, you play one on Monday and then you play one on Wednesday. If you're lucky enough to make the NCAA tournament, that's like playing, you know, the Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, right? So you kind of look at those tournaments like that, but also the non-conference really prepares you for saying, you know, if you're lucky enough to get the postseason play, you got to then be ready to prepare for teams that you haven't seen all year.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, we'll let you go here. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. Again, it was a little last minute, but thank you so much. Hopefully we can talk again soon, and good luck the rest
of the way.
Anytime,
Zach. We really appreciate it. We need everybody to keep coming out. Come watch us in Alumni Arena. Looking forward to the Bonaventure game after our Florida road trip. But thanks so much, and go Bulls.
Go Bulls. Thank you so much, Coach. That was Coach George Halkovich, UB men, on the Western Hotline. I wanted to attend that Bonaventure game so bad, even before the start got really good. I'm somebody that is mentioned with college basketball. It is my love. It is my baby. And I wanted to go to that game. I'm on vacation, though. I am in Florida. So when UB comes back, I will then be leaving for Florida.
Of course. And I'm That's always how it works out.
I'm like, oh, like that'd be a great game. I got to attend the RIT one, but I'll be honest, after last night's win, I'm like, give me Woj and the Bonnies versus, you know, this new-look Bulls team and what they've got. Daniel Freetag would have been great. I didn't get to mention it with Coach, and I hope the stats stay the same for when we can talk again soon. But he mentioned Noah Batchelor, one of their other guards. He's only averaging 7.4 points per game. However, he's averaging 58.8% from three-point. He is a corner shooter. That's who he is. He takes like three or four a game, and he's almost at 60% from three. Just absolutely incredible. They're scoring a lot of points. Not surprised, though. You know, coming from the Big East, that coach would want to play a little bit, you know, more defense. I can understand that. But, boy, are they an entertaining watch up to this point. 803-0550, the number to call. We've also had some Buffalo Bills news. We'll get to that when we come back and get you ready for Sabres Live as well. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGN. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get ready for Sabres Live. The Sabres are in action tonight. I failed to mention it this entire show. We've gone 2 hours. I haven't mentioned. Sabres are at home tonight against Calgary. It is a 7:30 puck drop. Ugh. 7 o'clock. Should always be 7 o'clock or the after-hour dark ones, not 7:30. It's ridiculous. 7 o'clock or 7:30 tonight against Calgary. They're at home. We'll see how the injury situation kind of settles it. It sounds like maybe Jason Zucker could be in play for Friday. Same is not going to be said for Michael Kesselring. It looks like he's going to be out for a little bit longer. Before, though, we wrap up today, there is some Bills news, and I'm a little bit late to this, but Buffalo Bills. Steve Tasker has been named to the semifinals of the senior category of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026. I don't know if this is as far as Steve has gone before, but huge for him. I screen your calls on One Bills Live. I feel the same way as well. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Hopefully this is just getting ever closer to him finally getting in the Hall. It would be amazing. I know the boys over on One Bills Live will be talking about that today. So congratulations to Steve Tasker. He's been named a semifinalist in the senior category for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026. Before we do wrap, though, real quick on the Sabres. Win tonight. Stay interesting. It's a back-to-back for Calgary. They're the worst team in hockey. Get them. Stay with it. Stay with it. The East refuses to have teams separate themselves. They refuse. Everyone is stuck in this ugly glob of teams. Get them. Boston is like in a playoff spot right now, and they have a negative point differential, and they played more games than everybody, and they're like 12-9. The Sabres are starting to get healthier. Zucker might be back on Friday. Josh Norris is starting to practice as well. Darlene is back. Benson, I think, was at the morning skate as well today, so maybe he's starting to come back. And you're getting really good contributions from Noah Osland and Isak Rosén. And the goaltending hasn't really died away either. Weirdly enough, the three-man rotation has actually been somewhat working for them up to this point. Colton Ellis, we'll see if he's in the net tonight or if it's going to be someone like Alex Lyon. Well, I think probably it should be. We'll see if that is the case. Paul Hamilton, about an hour ago. Ellis is in his own net. The other two are the other end, so it's likely he starts. So Ellis, again, they're going with the hot hand. I'm not against that by any means. Go with the hot hand. It kind of has saved them at times this year that they've gotten very good goaltending. But tonight especially, you're going up against a bad Calgary team on a back-to-back. Get after them. Get after them. And then you get Chicago on Friday, also at home. Connor Bedard's very good, but you handle the other Connor very well, Connor McDavid. And then Carolina at home on Sunday. This could be a huge swing for the Sabres team, just as the road trip could have been a massive swing for them, not in a good way. We will see what happens again tonight, 7:30, 6:30 pregame. And then for the Bills, tomorrow, game day, Thursday Night Football. We do have three players that are out, Dalton Kincaid, and then wide receivers McCall Hardman and Curtis Samuel.
is not totally new for the Bills. The Samuel one and Hardman, though, hurt. We'll see what is to be done with Keon Coleman if he is going to be in the lineup. McDermott did not give an answer on that when he spoke with Sal earlier today. Elijah Moore as well. We all know how big of a fan I am of his, and I think there's more he can do for this team, especially if they want to play like they did against Tampa Bay. But it'll be a little bit tough on Thursday night against that Houston Texans defense. That's going to do it for me today. I'll be back on 10 to 12 tomorrow as we get ready for Bills Texans later on in the evening. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.